Let us pray. Today I'll be proclaiming God's word from the Gospel, Matthew chapter 4, of which we've already heard. So we pray. Eternal God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, grant us your Holy Spirit, who writes the preached word into our hearts, so that we may receive and believe it, and find healing of heart, soul and mind in the Gospel of Jesus. We pray in Jesus' most holy name. Amen. Today we'll be looking at the team, the fishing team, Peter, Andrew, James and John. They could probably tell some interesting stories about fishing. And particularly after this gospel reading, they certainly had a big story to tell. But fishing was their life. And of course, if they fished and they didn't catch anything, that was regarded as being pretty serious because they depended on the income they got from the fish that they caught. Along comes Jesus of Nazareth and issues them with a strange invitation. Remember, Jesus was out preaching and there was such a big crowd on the seaside that he actually got into one of the, actually Peter's boat and started preaching to the people from there. And he said, put out your nets for a catch. And of course we know what happened. Later we'll hear about that from Luke chapter 5. But here he says, come follow me and I will help you to catch not fish, but also humans. And what's their reaction? Well, it's the reaction we can see the Holy Spirit at work, because we read, at once they left their nets and followed him. These four Galilean fishermen were called to be disciples of Jesus, and their names are etched in history. Today we ask, what was the call then all about? What was involved in following Jesus? And what lessons can we learn from that call for our situation today? And so let's look at the call and the challenge under the theme, let's go fishing. The call couldn't be simpler, could it? Follow me. When describing the call, St. Luke reports a miraculous catch of fish first in chapter 5, and he gives a lot of extra detail there. But he reports that Peter was, as a result of the catch of fish, after they'd been fishing all night, caught nothing, but Jesus said, put out into the water and catch fish. And their boat was so loaded that they had to call James and John in the second boat of their team, and even that boat was overloaded almost to the point where it sank. Peter, in response to all this, when he came back to shore, fell down at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man. And there's no record of anything else, whatever Jesus might have said to Peter, Andrew, James and John. However, it's reasonable to assume that he told them why they didn't have to be afraid, because he was preaching the good news of the kingdom of God. And what a powerful thing that was, and what a powerful thing that is today. Jesus was always talking about his kingdom, and he told many parables to illustrate the good news that we don't have to live in fear of God's punishment for our sin, because God has provided forgiveness and life. And he's provided it through his son Jesus, who was there calling Peter, James and John, who is the same Jesus who calls us today to follow him. Although these four and the others that Jesus called to be his disciples often failed to comprehend and confess the good news of Jesus, they did grow in their discipleship. Think of Peter's great confession. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And John's confession at the end of his book, in chapter 20, he wrote, I have written about some of the miracles which Jesus did, so that you might believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Jesus has also called us to follow him. For most of us, this took place when we were baptised as babies. Although we were not fully aware of what was happening, the Holy Spirit through baptism began working in us, helping us to trust in Jesus as our Saviour. We followed Jesus, we learnt to say our prayers, and as we were reminded of God's love by our parents, as we attended Sunday school, in many cases, we went through confirmation. Some of us had the privilege perhaps to attend a church school. And then through youth, as we got together in groups and fellowship around the Word, and the plus 20s, and now through friendship groups, and through our constant worship every Sunday on Sundays, and throughout the week, our constant worship as we grow spiritually through our prayer, through our devotions, and through reading God's Word and being enriched with the great promises of life and forgiveness that he assures us of there. For some, perhaps this call came later in life, as you heard Jesus' written word, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." So whether we began to follow Jesus as babies or later in life, we're here today because we've learnt to know and to appreciate the love, the forgiveness and life that God gives us in Jesus Christ. Jesus was talking about this when he said, "My sheep listen to my voice and they follow me." Sometimes people who are sick in bed are not so worried about their illness, but they're more worried about their life that they've lived. They ask, "Does God really love me and forgive me in spite of what I've done?" And that's when the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, is so reassuring. Neither you or I deserve it, but God still loves, he forgives, he heals, and he gives life. And this is basically what Jesus' call is about. It is good news that offers and gives forgiveness and life. That's the good news of the kingdom that Jesus was talking about, that Jesus demonstrated in the lives of people as he forgave and he healed so many people around him, even his enemies. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." But being a disciple is more than just believing, you think. And that's where the challenge of being a disciple comes in. Jesus said, "Follow me, now let's go fishing. I'll make you fishers of people." And Jesus wasn't talking about recreational fishing, which we saw on Monday night when we went down to Henley Beach and watched the sun go down and all the people hopefully catching fish and in some cases a few crabs off the jetty at Henley Beach. Jesus wasn't talking about retirement. Jesus was talking to people who took their fishing very seriously because their lives depended on it. He was calling for them to apply the same commitment and concentration when fishing for people. He wanted them to follow him and to learn from him how to use the gospel to rescue people. And that's the big challenge for us today, isn't it? This period in the church year is traditionally the time when the challenge of Jesus' fishing is emphasised. It's the season of Epiphany, and it stresses that Jesus is the Almighty God and Saviour of everyone. January the 25th is observed as the conversion of St. Paul, the great missionary, to the Gentiles. And it's sad that we so often concentrate so much on results of witnessing rather than on actual witnessing, of sharing our joy in Jesus Christ of fishing for people. I read some time ago of a minister from overseas who was asked, how many active members in his congregation does he have? Just wait for the reply. He said, there was 1,000 members in his congregation. I have 1,000 active members in my congregation. And after, people said, oh, how wonderful. Yes, 200 of them are active for the Lord and 800 of them are active for the Satan, he said. This is the reality of the world in which we live, and we see it around us today, don't we? Although all of us as disciples of Jesus are to fish for people, we sometimes are so concerned about what might or might not happen as a result of our witnessing that we just don't get around to do it. Actually, everyone in the kingdom of God is a witness. We need to watch out that our witnessing isn't too negative. Think of the congregation at Corinth. We've heard about it. We need to look at how Paul was dealing with that congregation. It was a lovely congregation, probably a lot bigger and better than most of the congregations in the Lutheran Church of Australia and New Zealand. Paul had established the congregation in 18 months, and then he was succeeded by Apollos. And then the congregation became divided into factions. Some said they liked Paul. Others said they liked Apollos. And then there was others who said they liked Cephas or Peter to help them organise their affairs. And there was even a fourth group that said, we don't accept any of these humans. We follow Jesus Christ. Sometimes we can turn people away from the church by what we say. And that applies particularly to subjective criticisms of congregations and church. We need to be very careful about what we say, when we say it, and where we say it. For example, if you're on a tram or a bus or in a public place somewhere, or even in a friendship group, we need to be careful how we talk about other people, particularly how we talk about the church and Jesus Christ, who is the bride, who is the on which the church is based. We need to speak positively so that others will be drawn into our fellowship and not feel, well, I'd rather not get involved with that group because they're rather negative. And it doesn't require professional Christians. It requires ordinary people. Your fishing doesn't require you to have all the answers to all the questions that people raise. As the hymn writer puts it, if you cannot speak like angels, if you can't preach like Paul, you can tell the love of Jesus. You can say, he died for all. At times, our fishing may not even involve words. Jesus said, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and praise your Father in heaven. And people not only watch what the pastor does, but also what the people of the church do. They notice how you love and how you help. They notice what you say about others, even to the point of making a determined effort to go to church every Sunday, to read the Bible, to pray, and to share God's word with one another. People are attracted to the church by your attitude, by your commitment. And what a privilege and challenge for the disciples. And what a privilege and a challenge it is for us today too. As 21st century Christians, we are called first of all to follow Jesus, to listen to the word, to his word. He is the word. Remember John? We've heard it over Christmas. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And the word became a human being and lived among us. We need to trust for forgiveness and life and to build our lives around the gospel. But it's also a challenge to tell the good news. Always be ready to have an answer for those who challenge the gospel. This good news. You can influence people, remember, through your actions, through your attitudes, and through your lives. So I encourage you, go in the blessing of God and share the love of Christ. Be fishers of people. Remember that God has promised through Jesus. He said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of people by the power of the Holy Spirit that is in you through your baptism and which is with you every day of your life as you repent of your sins and you can be totally reassured of the forgiveness of your sins because of Jesus." So in that light and that strength, let's go fishing. And may the peace of God that surpasses all of our understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.